Welcome back to this story that has been continued for 2 days, and this is the last and final day. We're glad that you're with us today, and we have in the studio with us...
Albert.
Albert, what do you think of this story? Has it been interesting for you?
I feel like, if anything, it's been really inspiring. Like, right after they got married, you know, they started donating money. They didn't wait till later. They didn't wait till until they were
young
much older.
Young couples starting out, and they didn't say, let's save this, but they said, let's give it away.
Isn't right. Usually a young couple, after they get married, you know, they'll spend money and go on honeymoons, travel around the world. Especially, I feel like in their position, they can do all this and more.
But they gave it out. That's
right.
Wonderful.
From the get-go, they just started giving
it out. So that's a good lesson for all of us. And then we have some of our interns who are leaving for school, but they're on this program before they go. And so let's find out what they think. Irene, what did you feel about this story so far, about the Facebook Zuckerbergs?
I also agree with Albert that it's really inspiring, especially Priscilla, that what she does and how she gives back to people.
I know. I think it's very inspiring, too. And Michelle, what did you think today? We're glad you're here.
Hi. I'm glad to be back. I definitely agree. I think it's really cool to see just how humble she really is and how she has such a big heart for giving back.
That's true. And Edith, did you learn a lot from having this story?
Yeah, I learned that after what she went through, she really showed how she cared for the children, and it showed throughout this article.
Right. And children are very important in any country, but they don't always have the same opportunities. And some of them have common ground, but they don't have the same kind of background. And we found out about that yesterday. So our article then, where did it start originally? On page 20, right?
Yes. And today we're starting on page 22.
So we've done 2 days, and this is the third day, and we're going to talk about the big picture and how they're doing this and what they're doing. So who are we talking about? Let's review that.
We're talking about Priscilla Chang and her husband, Mark Zuckerberg, who is the co-founder of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And how she is now a mother. She is a Bay Area philanthropist, a pediatrician. And, you know, she's just trying her best to give the best to kids everywhere, not only in school, but after school as well, in their homes and families.
And I like this photo that we have on page 28. Shows how they really love their little baby girl that they had. And I'm sure that little girl's getting a lot of love, too, don't you think? But, you know, it's not just only your own kids. You have to be concerned about other people's kids besides your own. Do your parents sometimes tell you to teach you to take care of other people besides your own family?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When my friends come over, they always tell me to just give out the best.
Right. Give our best to help other people, and then we'll be happier that way. Yeah. And I think that she knew this, that her parents suffered a lot, but she doesn't want these kids to suffer. So I think this has been a very, very interesting lesson. And we're going to start on page 22 today, and we're going to look at the big picture of this story. Now, the big picture is, when you see the big picture, you have to look at more than just a few facts. You have to look at more than that. What does it mean to see the big picture?
Right. Sometimes when you look at a painting or whatnot, you just focus on one area, but you should step back and take a look at the whole, what it encompasses.
Right. If you see a picture, you just look at one little boy or one little girl, you're not seeing the way they fit into everything.
Right, how it works.
If you step back and see a picture, you see the whole world that it's in, then it influences you differently, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look beyond little things that happen to us every day, but we have to look and see how that affects other people. We have to see the big picture. So that's a good little phrase to remember. So let's read now the very first part down through line 10.
Seeing the big picture. East Palo Alto, a disadvantaged, racially diverse city of about 29,000 people, stands out among the wealthy and educated tech enclaves of Silicon Valley. Only a small percentage of students go on to earn a bachelor's degree, and 16.6% of the city's residents are living in poverty. Much like the low-income housing units that Chan worked in during college, the city has a history of gang violence, and in 1992 had the nation's highest murder rate. Since then, East Palo Alto has become safer.
So Palo Alto itself is a very beautiful little city south of San Francisco. But the east part of the city, now, Michelle, you're from Seattle, and I'm from there. And Seattle's got a lot of beautiful places in it, but the south end of Seattle often had more disadvantaged people. And so we say the south end is a little more dangerous. Did you ever hear that, too?
Yeah.
You don't dare go there because there's a lot of violence and stuff because the people that live there don't have good homes and things. So every city has a good area and kind of a bad area, don't they?
I think
that's true most countries.
And the word that's used here is enclave. And enclave is a separate space or group within a larger one. For example, imagine an enclave as a cave carved out of a big mountain. In that cave, we have bears, and people live on the mountainside. So it's like a little small space and a bigger space.
Right. So East Palo Alto is where the disadvantaged people are. Now, those people are racially diverse. What does that mean, Irene?
It means racially diverse means that you have different races.
Different backgrounds. You know, there's a lot of Mexicans there. There's a lot of Mexicans in California because it's right on the border there. And so there are Mexicans there. But there's refugees from other countries. And have any of you ever been down to Palo Alto?
No.
It's a beautiful area, really. But the disadvantaged area is kind of like a poor neighborhood. New York is the same. They have beautiful, beautiful parks and everything. But they have these areas that are a little more dangerous where some of the people live that are from Puerto Rico or from South America, and they don't speak the language, and their parents, you know, are separated. We call those disadvantaged. I think every big city has places like that, don't you think so?
Yeah, definitely.
Shanghai, Asia, Hong Kong, every country has those kind of areas because there's some people that came as refugees and they didn't make it and so forth, so. Well, now we're glad that our teacher, Bill, who hasn't been with us for a while. Bill, it's good to have you drop by today. How are you?
I'm great, Doris. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you came in because you've been reading more about this Priscilla Zhang yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, it's an interesting story about her, and it's inspiring, actually.
Right. Well, have you ever been to Palo Alto or that area at all, Bill?
I've been there. I've been there. I've visited Stanford and had some friends that go to school there.
So there are areas that are beautiful, and then they do have these areas of the city that every big city has where they have more gang violence and things, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, it happens in all areas. Even we consider Palo Alto, an upscale area, It's surprising they even have the problems there.
Right, because some people who are maybe even illegal residents there and different ones, and there's a lot of problems that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at the big picture, and that's what we're talking about, because that's a racially diverse city. It's not really very big. 29,000 people doesn't sound big compared to cities in Asia, right?
No, that's like almost a neighborhood here in Taipei.
That's right, yeah. But anyway, a lot of these people that live in that area, they don't go on to earn BAs, degrees, and it says 16% of the city's residents are living in poverty. That's too bad, isn't it?
That's something that we normally don't hear about when we talk about Silicon Valley and Palo Alto. That's an overlooked part of the population.
That's true. But they have these low-income housing units that we talked about. And so she worked during college, that she worked in those during college. And that city has a history of gang violence. I didn't realize that. What happened there in 1992, Irene?
Had the nation highest murder rate.
I thought that was Chicago had that. Wow. Isn't that something? Did you know that? I didn't know it was that bad there.
No, I didn't either. I mean, it's really surprising because you feel like Silicon Valley is associated
That was surprising to me.
Yeah, it would be. Now, they're not having the highest number, but they would have, for instance, that highest rate would be like the percentage based upon the population.
Right. Yeah.
It's really surprising it would happen in such an area.
Right. I know. I think it's very surprising, Well, it makes people scared to go. Don't worry about it. You'll be safe, right? It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's just the beginning talking about that. But let's find out a little bit more about that. Let's read the next section.
Inspired by working with kids in the after-school program and as a pediatrician, Chan started quietly working on the primary school while she was a resident at the University of California at San Francisco. It was incredible what she pulled off. Being a resident and working that sort of arduous schedule is taxing in and of itself, said Dr. Meg McNamara, a mentor in the program who worked with Chan. McNamara said Chan has a knack for seeing the big picture, but keeping an eye on the details, understanding the larger impact of a child's life outside of the doctor's office.
I remember that we've heard about her when she was back in the Boston area. She helped these kids, didn't she, when she was going to school? And she's always been interested in that. But she was inspired here. But what was she doing as she worked in that area, Irene?
She was a resident at the University of California at San Francisco.
And her job was a pediatrician.
Yes.
See, it says here that she worked in this after program as a pediatrician, which means she took care of the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was her job at that time. And so what did she do then, Michelle?
She co-founded a startup with...
primary school, right?
Yeah.
And then she was a resident. Now, the word resident often means somebody who lives there. You know, I live there, I'm a resident of this area. But in here, resident has a different term for medical people.
Right. Resident is a doctor that is studying, and part of their studies is that they have to spend several years in their education. Actually, they go to school, and then they also then are working at a hospital. It is a brutal schedule to be
right.
a resident. They get no sleep.
Right. The residents have to work there, and they call them a resident doctor because they can't just be on their own. They have to work in the hospital
mm-hmm.
until they've had their some certain period of time tests.
Yeah, I mentioned how brutal the schedule is because they, I read up on residents.
Right? Day and night, right?
Yeah, oh, they actually, normally it's not like they go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and wake up at 5. Actually, what most residents, doctors, you know, preparing, they squeeze in 30 or 60 minutes throughout a 24-hour period whenever they can. And,
take a nap.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Right. They have beds actually in the hospital for mm-hmm. staff.
Right. But it was very incredible that she pulled this off. She was able to accomplish this. What did she do? Well, she was a resident. What did she do? That's a hard job. What did she do?
Well, you know, during that difficult moment, she was able to set aside some schedule, and she was able to mentor.
I know. Can you imagine with that kind of a very difficult, arduous schedule? And it said, and it's taxing in and of itself. The schedule itself is taxing. What does that mean?
Well, that's another usage of a word that we normally don't see. We think of taxes as far as something we pay on income or earnings, but actually in this case, taxing means it's very tiring and it drains all of your energy. And so, of course, being a resident is arduous and taxing. It leaves you exhausted.
Right. Well, now, when she was there, she had a mentor. And what did we say mentors usually do?
They teach how you live your life.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, when she was there, she had a mentor, too, didn't she?
Yes.
And what did her mentor say about her? Did he have anything nice to say about her?
Yeah, she said that it was incredible what she pulled off.
Right. And he said she has a knack for seeing the big picture. Now, if somebody says that about you, you have a knack for seeing the big picture. What does that mean, Bill?
Well, if you have a knack for seeing the big picture, you're not just focused on your own little world, your daily things that bother you, but actually you can see, for instance, what is good for the organization, what is good for my department, what is good for all of the people around me over the long term.
Right, not just the little thing you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has an eye on the details. In other words, when you do a little thing, it affects everything else, isn't that right?
That's right. And sometimes you lose the big pictures, but she's able to juggle between both the details and the bigger picture.
So she was not only worked on this job of being a resident, which was very hard, but she also wanted to make it be an influence, have an impact on children's life outside of the doctor's office. So she had a full-time job, but she still could see the neighborhood, couldn't she?
Well, I think what her mentor, Meg McNamara, is getting at here is that Chan can see the patient, the child, not just as somebody that comes in for 10 or 15 minutes and says, oh, I'm sick, but actually Chan is able to see how does her care of this child impact the entire family. And so
she can see the big picture.
She sees a bigger picture, right. A lot of times we get caught up in our busyness. We don't see the big picture. It's just like, oh, this is a task. Let me get this patient taken care of as quickly as possible. Get out of here so I can get to the next patient. But clearly McNamara is saying, well, Chan sees the entire family and even the community.
Well, that's true, right. Well, we didn't finish reading, so let's finish the rest of the article now and see what else we can find out, starting here in line 24.
In an office space already filled with bursts of bright colors, the primary school's logo, a hand with a heart in its palm, jumps out. Incorporated into the logo are images that represent the school's five values: excellence, growth, courage, community, and soul. Chan, who gave birth to her first child, a daughter, in late 2015, knows education reform can't wait. Before I had Max, I had all these experiences that gave me what I felt like was a strong empathy for how important it is for children to have all these opportunities, and how much families want to invest and want the best for their kids, Chan said. But after I had Max, I feel that every day.
And with this primary school we're talking about, we talked about it the first day on page 20, and they had this primary school, and it links health care and education together for families. It's a very unusual place. Doesn't that look like a very interesting place, Bill?
Well, she's got such an interesting approach to this, and she's trying to make it a holistic approach, and not just hey, let's educate them so they can take tests and get high scores, but she's seeing the big picture of what does education have to do with family, what does it have to do with health, and the whole picture.
Well, I like the idea of the logo they have. Michelle, what kind of a logo does that school have?
Oh, the school's logo has a hand with a heart in its palm.
A heart in a palm, and then here's hands holding this little heart. So everything about it has to do with love, and let love be in the school, not just education, but caring and mentoring, and to show that here's the little hands holding up this heart. That's their logo, instead of get to work, it's kind of care about each other.
Well, it's important, actually, to send messages like this. You know, a lot of people might look at a logo like this and say, oh, what's the point, right? Why do we worry about this? But, you know, human beings are interesting as far as we see an image. It can actually change our mood. It can change our outlook. And if you walk in the building and you see a logo, whether you're a parent or a student, this conveys an idea.
Right. The logo jumps out because it puts an idea in your mind. Mm-hmm. Pictures are worth 1,000 words, right?
Right. Hopefully this one's worth 5 words. Excellence, growth, courage, community, and soul.
So they have this big logo, and inside the logo, there are other images here that represent the school's values. Mm-hmm. So let's take those one by one. What's the first value?
The first value is excellence.
Is excellence. Now, of course, you want to do a good job. You don't have to be perfect. Remember, perfection and excellence are not the same. But you want to be good as you can. So, of course, a school should strive for excellence. We should all strive for excellence. But remember, you don't have to be perfect, because you're going to be discouraged if you do. What is the second one then, Michelle?
The second one is growth.
Growth. Now, what kind of growth do you think you're talking about, Bill?
Well, they're not talking about revenue and income growth.
No.
That comes later in life, in business. But actually, in growth, they're talking about growing the person as far as growing our understanding of many things, not just academic studies, but growing bigger hearts and bigger minds.
So inside of this logo, they have this idea. And what is the third thing?
The third thing is courage.
And courage. And, you know, no matter what happens in your neighborhood, if it's dangerous or whatever it is, be strong, have faith, have courage, and that's in this love logo. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is great. And I like this other one, community.
Right. It's about, you know, giving back and the people around you. I feel like everything that, you know, Priscilla's able to see, the bigger picture, it's like everything's connected. whether it's your grades, your health, your family, they're all connected and they affect one and another.
What about the soul? Now, community and soul, are those different, Bill?
Oh, this is really great. And the fact that they have soul here in their logo is awesome, because you would hardly ever see soul in the logo of a school or that talked about.
That's right.
You're right. And they're talking about actually developing the deeper the spirit, the person, as far as compassion and caring, things like that.
And so I think that they've really made a big impression in that area. It might even help that whole neighborhood change. I hope so.
Well, it does. Yeah. It does create a change. It doesn't happen overnight.
No.
But over the long run, it will have a big impact.
That's right. Maybe they won't have that bad neighborhood sometime, right? Who knows?
It takes a few years, but it can transform neighborhoods.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, of course, now they gave birth to their first child. And if we look over here on the page before that, page 21, it says that November 2015, they gave birth to their daughter. So, wow. About a year old now, getting to be a year old.
I'm trying to figure out how this woman manages things. She must have 40 hours in a day.
Well, women can do that sometimes, Bill. You know, you'd be surprised what women can do. But, you know, a lot of women have to manage the home and their job. But she's doing all of this, and she has the energy to do it. And that's good. She has the heart. She sees the big picture.
Actually, now I think about it, there's probably two of her. So there's two Priscilla Chans running around doing all of these things.
At least, right.
But it's amazing the energy she has and actually the vision that she does have.
That's true. And now she has her own daughter, but she says that education reform can't wait. I mean, even though these things are happening, you cannot stop, because these kids are growing up. They're in this kind of environment. We have to help them. And what did she say about that before she had Max? What did she say, Irene?
She says she had all these experiences that gave her what she felt like was a strong empathy for how important it is for children to have all these opportunities to learn.
She didn't have her own kids, but she had empathy. And what did we say that empathy was?
So empathy is you have the ability to understand and relate to other people.
Right. Not just sympathy. Sympathy says, oh, I feel sorry for you. But empathy is, I know how you feel. And now she knows, because she has her own baby, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times before couples have children or single adults, we don't think about education. It's like, oh, well, school's so what? But, wow, once you have a child, it just makes it like a laser that you're like, whoa, what's going on with these schools? Now, my child is going there.
Right. So now she knows how important it is for all of these opportunities and how much families really want to invest in the best for their kids, as she said. Because she felt that way after she had Max. She feels it every day. But I think she felt it even before that. Don't you think so?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just shown by how they have such a commitment to it. You know, donating 99% of their Facebook wealth and share. The time and money she spent and effort that she's done with her husband.
That's right. Well, you know, Bill, we talked about this when you weren't here the last couple of days, but the fact is that most people say, when I have money, I'll help other people. But they usually don't. But look at this family. They have given millions and millions away. And it says that right now, in December 1st, 2015, they pledged to give away 99% of their Facebook shares. And that's a lot of money. How much did we say that was?
It's worth
$45 billion. Mm-hmm. Now, people don't always do that. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's great.
You know, a lot of times people will look at this and say, oh, well, they're rich and they can give away money. But you actually brought up a good point, Doris, about a lot of people say, when I have money, I'll give it away. But actually, the true test of our character is, what are we willing to give away when we have almost nothing? And because there's a saying in America that money makes you more of what you are. And if you are generous when you don't have much, you will just be more generous when you have more later. You're not all of a sudden going to turn into a generous person when you get money. This starts early in the game when you don't have it.
Well, I know, like Michelle's here, her father works for World Vision, and I had an aunt who took care of American Indian people on the reservation. Her salary was very little, but she gave most of it away to World Vision and she hardly had anything, but she was very happy. And some people who have a lot of money and they never give it away and never have enough, I don't have enough money. So the people that don't have it, are the ones that usually give it away. But here's somebody who has it and give it away. So let's give them a big hand. That's great.
It's encouraging. We've had great stories like them, and then also Bill and Melinda Gates and their foundation.
Yeah, right.
So it is encouraging to see some of these people that have been successful giving back.
Right. Well, thanks for being with us today, all of you. And read this over. Look at the facts. This is a true modern story. It's a love story. It's a story of people who give away what they have. And let's do that, each one of us, and help our communities when we can. Don't you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and it's something actually we need to start young. This is not something we don't wait until we're 40 or 50 years old. I think Priscilla Chan learned from her parents the idea of generosity. Right. This was a practice that she started when she was 13 years old.
You start it when they're young, right?
Yeah. And it's not just helping others. It also actually helps develop our character by being so generous like this. Forces us to think of other people, not just our own little world.
To see the big picture, right? And I hope your window on the world advance will help you see the big picture. So be back for new lessons and new experience. And thank you, all of you, for being with us today. Did you have a good time?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll see you on a new lesson next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye.